You're listening to Navid Musa of The Mindset Movement. Good day, good people. My name is Navid Musa. I'm your host today and always for The Mindset Movement podcast. This episode is only a little bit different. We are in Vegas. What's that? Vegas, baby. So we are actually here on a at a private money convention. And I say we, as in I have my team here as well. So going to do a quick intro, going from my right to my left. On the right, I have Jose Rivera, who is basically like a investor in training. And then we have Anna Guzman and Adam Frederick from Simple Property Management and the 1111 Property Management Group. They are both owners of both of those entities as well. And how are you guys doing?
We are great.
I'm good.
Good. Thank you, JR, first of all, for finding this spot. This is a really cool spot, by the way. For those who come out in Vegas, this is called RS Media out here in Vegas. It's a very nice facility. We're able to rent it out and basically do this podcast here. They provide all the equipment and a very nice young lady who does engineering for us. This is her spot as well. And you're going to hear hopefully some stuff that you don't hear, which is like my cell phone going off there. Let's all mute that, guys, for a second while we do that there. excuse me. Anyways, I was saying you get to rent this out for a certain amount of time. They give you a fee, you do the app, and then it's a portable studio, basically, in a sense of where you just bring your body and your mind, and they have everything for you. So thank you, RS Media, for providing this. This is a great service. We may have to steal this idea for back when we go to Pennsylvania, guys. I don't know about y'all. This is nice. This is really, really nice. So anyways, when we decided to do this podcast, this particular episode, we're like, what are we going to talk about? Right? What are we going to do? We're out here in Vegas. No, we're not gambling and wasting our life away and drinking our sorrows away. We're actually here to learn about how we can basically scale not only our business, but our clients' business. We have, and Adam and Anna, I'll have you guys elaborate on this. You guys come across a lot of clients who are newbie clients like JR, who just started, who bought one home, rented it out for a bit, flipped it, made some money. And then we have other clients who are doing the BRRRR strategy. And then we have clients who are, 10 unit buildings, 50 unit buildings and stuff like that. And since we're trying to create this one-stop shop, money's always an issue, right, guys? Everybody always needs money to do something for growing it. It's just, we always get scared because we don't want to get into debt. We try to pride ourselves as a whole where we will go ahead and do the homework for our clients and try to find out lending options for them. So I would like, it doesn't matter who, Anna or Adam, either one of you guys could talk about your range of clients. Like, talk about your quote unquote smallest client to your biggest client. Like, obviously no names or anything like that, but give us an idea or give us the audience an idea of what kind of clients that you guys deal with.
Yeah, smallest client is like, I've had a few people recently that are like, they're working a regular job. They got a pretty good job. They might be putting some money in a 401k, something like that. And they don't realize that with a relatively small amount of money, not small, but not hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Astronomical figure, yeah.
Yeah, you don't need hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get started. But that requires, using a little bit of leverage and getting in and out of some projects with private money, hard money, things like that. So that's the smallest investor is going to be somebody who has basically enough for a down payment. They're going to go to a private money. We're going to connect them with a private money lender, a hard money lender, same thing, and get them into the key is they got to get into a good property, right? The numbers have to make sense so that they can refi out of it and pull that money that they invested in out and then get back into the next thing and slowly one at a time. And then eventually it expands on itself. And before you know it, a couple months, years go by and you got a nice portfolio. You started with that first property. That was a successful exit on the refi so that you can pull that money, recover that capital and keep using it over and over again. That's the smallest investor. Biggest people we're working with are looking for all commercial property, five units and up, the bigger, the better. But the same strategy kind of applies across all those properties. I mean, it's just on a bigger scale.
Do you want to add anything to it?
No, he said it all, I think.
So you had said like 5 units and which is commercial, and then depending who you are, if you're listening to this and you're like, 5 units, that's nothing. And okay, to you that isn't. But to someone like JR here, yeah. Right, who's you've done one, mm-hmm. right? You bought one, it was a Section 8 property. You after X amount of months said, okay, I'm done, I kinda wanna kinda you got the itch, the bug to go a little bit bigger. Right. So then we sold it, made some money off that one there. Where do you, for someone who is just bought one, was looking to buy one, you've been through it now recently. So can you kind of talk about that? Like what that shift was like and how you got over the hurdles of fears or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. I don't know that I had any fears. I picked your brain on several things. And followed your guidance, which I think is what anybody should do when they're doing something different, you know.
To having a coach or whatever.
Correct, like okay. Correct. A mentor, a coach, or, you know, at that time you may not have even been that, you've become that, but at that time you were just someone that I can trust your word, and I knew you had my best interest at heart, you know, so even if it's just that. But, yeah, I mean, followed the advice that you gave me, and came across a property that actually you found, I think, through somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly.
Yep.
And we had conversation back and forth as to what the numbers would be like. And it was a number that I was comfortable with. So, yeah, we went ahead and we made that purchase. It was an all-cash purchase. So I used all of my money on that. And it was a property that already had a tenant, which you told me, you know, was a good thing and was key for us to find. Then we... Maybe 5-6 months later, I think it
sounds
was.
Sounds about right, yeah.
We were seeing that the market was changing and the price on it was still good to make some money if we were to flip it. Anticipating some of the changes that are happening now, you told me it was a good time to probably take an offer on that property. And we did. We got a good price for it. I made some money off of it. And we can see now that properties are already starting to go down.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Stuff like that. And the reason I had JR speak on that was because, to Adam's point, he's got all different type of investors. Adam and Anna, they themselves have a whole bunch of different type of investors that they work with. But at the end, he said, it's all the same, right? It's all relative. Whether it's a 20-unit building or a 2-unit building, the numbers have to make sense, mm-hmm. right? And the numbers make sense if the money you get for it makes sense. Right, so
correct.
You because that can really fuck with your cash flow. At the end of the day, it can really screw up with it because if you buy a 1-4 unit building, it's comps, right? They look at what sold, what to 1 unit sold or 2 units sold, and it's just a comp. When you look at 5 units or more, then now you're looking at income approach, right? What's that building making you? How much money is coming in and stuff like that? So then they appraise it based off of that. When you're calculating your cash flow to buy a 5+ unit building, you're whether or single, he's like, well, how much if I'm getting a investment loan, right? Even if you're getting a private money loan to begin with, okay, that's fixed rate, but you still have to refi that private money out. You got to refi it out into a conventional person or into an investment loan. And when you do that, you're turning around and say, okay, well, that loan I'm getting is probably going to be variable rate, right? It's going to be prime +2, prime +3, whatever that is. And so when these interest rates are going up, you're turning around and say, okay, well, my cash flow would have been this, because my mortgage payment is this. But now that the interest rate's gone up, the mortgage I got on this property has gone up. That mortgage, so now I screwed my cash flow.
Cutting it.
Exactly, right? And so when we come to these kind of conventions, that's what we're here for, is to educate ourselves on that. It's to make sure, because the clients come to us, right? We're located in Pennsylvania, right? That's where we're at. Now, we're located right outside of Philadelphia, like 30 miles west of Philly. But we have investors from, like, you know, Illinois, from California, from the Middle East, from the UK, you know, we have investors all over, and they kind of rely on us to kind of say, hey, listen, we have a busy lifestyle. We just want to do our job, but we want a way of passive income. And so when we say yes and agree to that, they're like, okay, well, we need to make sure that we're providing a good service for them. And education is the best way to get that service. So what I know what I'm hoping to learn from this convention. I'm going to gonna put all three of you on the spot. No one can say I'll pass. And Anna, you've been quiet, so I'm going to let you go first. What do you hope to walk away from this private money lending convention?
Well, I'm hoping to learn about the different ways. I know that I'm scheduled for a lot of classes. but I'm hoping to take away, like, what's the new trending on money lending and what's going to happen on our world. This is a day-by-day thing that we use for our investors, so it's very important. And from there to move on and see what's...
How can you implement it, like I said, on a daily basis, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam?
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking to make connections with more lenders, obviously, the more and try to make a bigger goal would be to have like a main lending source for our clients. If we can make that relationship with somebody on a little bit of a bigger scale, and also to kind of see behind the curtain as to what these like bigger funds are looking for or what they prefer to see, so that we can try to possibly tailor ourselves and our, you know, our business to kind of fit their needs, so that we can potentially work better with them. Mm-hmm. And have a better partnership, better and stronger partnership with some lending partners, so that our clients can have that convenience and that service kind of like readily available.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, I just want to be a sponge and learn as much as I can. I can't say that I have something specific, other than what I will say is that I want to know where things are going. I don't know if that's on the... what they're looking the markets to be like, what the finances are going to be like, if there's going to be any changes in lending. But I'm curious as to learning things as to what's going to be important a year from now, 18 months from now, 24 months from now.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a little bit of all your answers and group into mine. But yeah, since I do a lot of, I rely on you guys. Hey, you know, you call me Navi, there's a girl property, you should scoop it up, right? So since I use like almost 99% private money, I want to be able to go to a private money lender and have all their questions already answered. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I'm a big mindset guy, right? So the podcast calls the mindset movement. So I'm a big mindset. So for me, if I can get into the mindset of a private money lender, whether it's for a $60,000 property or a $6 million property, the mindset shouldn't, to me, it shouldn't change. It should still be the same. I am going to be asking for money, your hard-earned money, to purchase this performing asset. And the exit strategy is this. And if I can answer a good majority portion of the questions that they are going to ask me every time I go borrow money, I feel more empowered more confident to ask for it, number one. And hopefully, number two, they would look at saying, okay, now he's got a shit in order. He's got a team who's got their shit in order. And so... With all that there, with all that being said and done, it hopefully then creates bigger projects and stuff like that. So we would get stuff, you know, I started off with single families, similar to what JR did. And then it's almost like Adam and I had this conversation about the evolution of the investor. You start off with single families, and then maybe you do a 2-3 unit building. And then from that, you say, okay, well, I got the itch. Let me do a 5 or 5-7 unit building. And then you're like, well, let's buy land. Let's buy a parking lot. Let's, you know, just whatever kind of goes in, because you want to start, you know, and... Believe it or not, for those who are listening, if you're interested in learning what we do, please, you know, drop a message, drop a message in the comments below, and we'll let you know. But we actually turn away more people than we accept.
Yeah.
Right. And that's right. And that, and we laugh every time we laugh at that, because people are like, you're turning away money.
But yeah.
But yeah, I get that. But it's not that we're turning away money. We're turning down headaches. We're turning down headaches. We like our peace of mind. What you said something one time. You're like, don't fuck with my peace. we have a pretty good system that if you want to plug into our system, that's fine. But if we don't feel it's going to work, we're going to tell you no. So we do turn a lot of people, because not that we're picky, but I don't, it's kind of weird, right? You don't want to sound bougie. You don't want to come off saying you're too good. We're too good for you. I'm kind of going to rant here, but the purpose of me telling you that is I started off with single family. Then we said, you know, single multi stuff. We have first time investors who want to come in and say, I want a 10 unit building. No. And you've never owned a single family. You've never owned a 3 unit. You never owned a shit. And you want a 10 unit building to begin with.
that's not going to work.
Exactly. And so,
sorry.
So tell people that. Tell people why that. And I agree with you. Tell people why that's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
For the most part. Well, why? Tell them.
Because they don't even know if they like it. Like, the first thing is...
That's a simple answer, right?
It's a simple answer.
That's right.
Like, the first thing when we have a first-time investor that comes to us, we're like, okay, what are your expectations? What is your budget? But first of all, what is your expectation? What do you want to do with this? And where do you want to go? What is your goal?
Yeah.
So depending on what you're answering on that,
mm-hmm.
then the next question is like, what is your budget? What is your time frame? What is... So we have a several questions, right?
Yeah.
That they need to answer us, even if it's by phone, by in person, by Zoom, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Depending the answer, we already going to know if it's going to work or not. If you're telling me, I want a 10 unit building starting. Okay. What is bringing you to a 10 unit building? Have you had experience? Have your family members? Oh, no, because I saw a friend and it works. No.
My cousin said I should do it.
No.
My friend
that
did
doesn't
it.
Mean, yes. That doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Like, okay, what do you do for a living? And all those things are going to merge together. And there we already know pretty, right? Pretty good
yeah,
to know if it's going, feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's going to work or not. So, yeah. We do turn around like a few people.
Yeah, it's hard for people to kind of understand that because yeah. they think, oh, how can you terminate a client? Again, it's not terminating a client. It's just mm-hmm. that it's that expectation. And you said yeah. it's the expectation of I want to do it because my friend did it. I saw it on HGTV. Yes. I saw this. I saw that. Oh, I was watching the thing on YouTube at 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. All these reasons come into play. And it's like, that's just not a realistic reason. And I compare it. Buying a rental is no different in comparison than doing your first flip project.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody thinks flips are sexy, right? You have all these damn TV shows out there. And you see, well, I can get this granite countertop, you know, bought and installed for $1,500, right? No, that's not really the reality of it, okay? But then you do the flip. And you're mm-hmm. like, this, in real life, I will never flip. I can't say I will never. I hate flipping a home. We did. I only did the one property because you guys ran with the whole thing. Said you managed it. You got the contract. Y'all did. I said that's fine. But outside of that, I can never flip a property because it's so much work.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the time time for money, right? Which we talked about that at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's your time. What are you worth? And that time for money on a flip does not make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. Where on a hold, you know, on a long term hold. Yeah, you're in there. You know, it's something. It's sustainable. It's cash flow. Mm-hmm. Now, having said all that, of course, you also said, "What's your goal?" Right? If your goal, and I'll kind of defer to both of you on this one, you because you know your goal was to you're a truck driver, or you were, or I want to phrase it, and you wanted to get out of truck driving. So because it you know, it's a wreck on your back and the hours you put in, all that kind of stuff. You know, you got kids at home. And so your goal was to slowly replace the income that the truck driving gave you so you could spend more time at home with the kids and more time on yourself. And so cash flow was the way to do it. How do we get something in? And a lot of people think, you know, and I if you could elaborate on that some more, a lot of people automatically think, well, if I want to quit my job and my job pays me $3,000 a month, I need to make $3,000 a month. Okay, that's fine. But you don't need to make $3,000 a month off of that one building. You don't.
Uh-huh.
You're not with that one building, right? You can say, okay, well, my cable bill is $150 a month. My cell phone is $200 a month. Let me just make $350 off this one building so my cable and my cell phone are at least taken care of, for example. And then you buy one building that can produce you, you know, maybe two doors or one door that can get you $350 a door, you know, and you do that. You're no longer a truck driver, right?
Correct.
So... Talk about that.
Excuse me.
That transition.
I wanna go back like 90 seconds also. One of the most attractive things to me with these conversations and after meeting Adam and Anna is I hear them talk and it's like they're not talking. It's like sitting down and talking with a financial advisor, listening to you guys talk. All right, because you guys are like, all right, you're asking the proper questions. You're interviewing. You're taking this person's money and time seriously.
This is not financial advice.
No.
There's a disclosure right there.
No,
there
not at all.
Just letting you know.
But, I mean, you, the people listening to this, you heard that. It's not like you're talking to your buddy, playing cards, or drinking, you know, having a few drinks or having a good time and say, yeah, let's go buy this place together. No. They have their client's best interest at heart. Yeah, they giggle about it. They laugh about it. I mean, that's how they pass the time, you know, when you hear them giggling. But they're serious about it. So if you have a goal that's attainable, they're going to put in the work to attain it or to help you attain it. If you're blowing smoke, you're blowing smoke. And you know, it's just like sitting down with a financial advisor. Yeah. What's your goal? You know, you're sitting down with someone that's going to help you manage your money, whether it be for some cash flow, whether it be to retire early, whether it be this is where I want to be in 10 years. You know, this could be a part of your whole financial portfolio or your main portfolio to get to that point. Yeah. I don't know if any of that makes any sense. But to your question about breaking things down, in my case, I always lived well below my means. So I didn't have to replace my income in full.
Okay.
So for me, yeah, it was using cash that I had been able to stockpile, purchasing the first property, flipping that, and not needing that money. That money was, I didn't need that money. So it wouldn't hurt me. You know, even if I didn't make the extra money on it and the market went down and all I was making was a rental, it's okay because I didn't need that money, which I think is important. You don't want to, you know, put in $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 if that's all the money you have and you need it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'll elaborate on that. That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a good point.
So it was a number that I was comfortable with, so it was okay. And I'm in it for the long haul, so that's okay. But, you know, I made some changes on the trucking side, put a driver in my truck, purchased some trailers. And it's really not that different for you guys. It's real estate. For you, it's a home or it's land. For me, it's a tractor or a trailer. The difference to me, I think, is real estate's long term. Trucking is fast money, quick money right away. And the industry changes and affects it much more. So the transition for me made sense. It made sense.
Yeah.
You know, did that answer your question?
No, that's fine. Because everyone is different, right? Like, and so you said a lot of good points. I won't elaborate on the one. I'll elaborate on two. The one was you had said it's very for people to understand that the money you put into real estate isn't. It's got to be something you can afford to lose.
Yeah.
Right? You can't
money
say.
Money put into anything.
Well, yeah, true.
Money you put into stocks. Money
everything
you put
is risky.
Yeah,
exactly.
Any investment is a risk you take no matter what. And for on-time purposes of real estate, we'll stick with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, any money you put into any kind of investment, especially real estate in this example, is you have to be able to lose it. And, yeah, not many people have X amount, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 just laying around there. And it's not like you found it overnight. Like you said, you stockpiled it being a driver. But you also, if you think about it, you leveraged your W-2, although you're 1099, you leveraged your job, your daily job, to then get you parlayed into investing. Correct. To get you out of it, right? And I think people, and that's a segue to another point I wanted to talk about while we're out here in Vegas, is when we talk to these people, when we go back home, is I think a lot of people sometimes feel they have to, if I'm going to go into investing, I need to quit my job and do it full time. There's that transition that they don't want.
No.
There's that transition that that has to take place. And we just had lunch and we talked about something. I can't remember. We said people want to attain this goal over here, but the steps to get there, they don't think about that. They goes, I just want to get this right now. Okay, that's great. But
you need to work for
it. How did you think about that? Like you said before, how did you create that goal, number one? Number two, well, okay, it makes sense. How are you going to get there? And that's why that's it. That's where it falls apart. And the reason I wanted you to elaborate on what you did was your steps, quote unquote, to get to where you're now. Now, let me back up here. JR here was a driver, lived below his means, put money away, educated himself through talking to people like myself, Anna and Adam, hanging around with us, asking us questions, putting in the work. And by putting in the work, I don't necessarily mean physical labor. I mean driving an hour and a half to come to meetings to then leave just to go back home right after the meeting, right? Like no one wants to do those things and you wanted to do it and it's paid off. And so there's all these little nuances that go into your transition of being a W-2 to getting into investing. And in this case, again, real estate investing. I I'm a backwards engineering guy, right? So to me, it's all back, you know, I want to get here. How do I get here from where I'm at now? Well, this has to happen. This has to happen. Okay, well, before this happens, what happens? Education is your base knowledge of anything, number one. And that's what we're out here to do. And if we can, as a team, educate ourselves from the lending side, because if we're going to go borrow money from people, mm-hmm. we got to be able to answer those questions. Right? Yeah. We got to answer those questions before they even get asked.
Yeah.
We got to answer those questions saying, boom, I thought about this. I thought about this risk, this, you know, this exit strategy. And if that doesn't fail, this exit strategy, and if the economy goes this way, here's another way to get your money back. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to have all that stuff there. And so when people talk about getting out of their daily 9-to-5 and their hustle and their grind, and they want to do their own hustle and grind, that's fine, but they really need to think about that. What does that exactly mean? Some people are working like you and who have this money sitting there, and they can actually become private money lenders.
Yeah.
They can actually become private money lenders and do that. And that's another thing I'm hoping to walk away with, is that if someone comes to me saying, I want to get into real estate investing, and I say, well, how are you going to fund it? And they say, well, I don't know, that I can speak to them on a knowledge basis and like, well, listen, if you have money in your 401k, you know, we can roll it over, which that's like second nature, the whole self-directed IRA. I do that in my sleep right now. But to talk to them as far as the logistics, yeah, I can roll it over to self-directed IRA. We can put the money there, or a solo 401k. That's all great and dandy. But now, how do you make that into a business? And that's, I think, one of the classes I think we're going to mm-hmm. tomorrow is that. It says, how do you manage your portfolio? How do you assess properties from a management, from a lender portfolio side of things? And so that's one of the things I'm hoping to take from that, because hey, you bought one, you may have bought, hopefully, I know you're looking for another one. We're going to find another one, a multi-unit, and then maybe we parlay into become a lender as well. You know, or the beauty of it is you got family members. Hey, you talk to them, you can educate yourself. Say, hey, listen, we can pull our money together and create this private money business as well. So there's a whole bunch of stuff I hope we get away from this when we leave.
I'm open to all of that.
What's that?
I said I'm open to all
of that. Yeah, I know. I know you're a sponge, like you said, stuff like that. So this podcast is a little bit different, right? Because number one, we're in Vegas. Number two, we have a lot of guests on here. But it's not guests because we all work together anyway. So it's more like co-host, if you will. And I've been hogging up the mic for a while on purpose because these guys don't say anything. They don't say anything. The reason why Jared's at the end and Adam's at the end is because they don't like the limelight. They don't like to be in front of the camera. That's why they're sitting at the ends of these tables over here. I'm very comfortable for the mic because I have a podcast currently already with you guys listening to. I mean, I said, fine, I'll take the lead on this one. But I really would like to hear from you guys, you know, like talk about when you get out of here, when we go back home, we go to PA, what's your first, I guess we can't speak on that right now because I haven't taken the class yet. So yeah, full disclosure, the classes start tomorrow. We came early.
Yeah.
We came early to settle in and stuff like that, take some of the sites in. But we do have a dinner tonight and stuff like that. But we did kind of game plan at lunchtime to saying, how are we going to attack the day? Because a lot of these classes
are at the same time.
Yeah. They're 15, 20 minutes. So it's kind of like there'll be ones where Anna and I go to. There's some where uh-huh. Adam and I go to. And then JR and Anna go to and stuff like that. We're just going to just tag team and just kind of hit whatever we can. And then just kind of regroup at the end of every session and go from that. But I know we hit you guys with a lot of information. And I kind of went all over the place. And if it doesn't make sense, it's my fault. If something does not make sense, please drop a comment below and say, hey, can you elaborate on this? Can you further explain? Because we do answer the questions, believe it or not, on the podcast. We also have a YouTube channel of the same name, so you can follow us on there. Real quick, if you don't mind, could you drop your email or your, not your email, your social media handle? Your user thing, what is it?
1111 Property Group.
And it's, you spell out 11, the word, and then the 11. Number 11, right?
So uh-huh, at, number 11.
Okay, so it's at, and then like it says E-L-E-V-E-N, then the number 11. And then mine is at the Navid Musa, also on TikTok as well, the same user. And if you want to look it up on YouTube, it's Navid Musa, the Mindset Movement, the podcast, or YouTube channel, however you phrase it. So, all right, well, we're going to wrap this one up. We had it. This is kind of, I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah. Had fun.
Have fun?
Yeah.
Liar. Do you want to say?
I've had a good time.
Yeah, a good time. Okay. All right. Right. So, all right. So, guys, we're going to wrap this one. Thanks for joining us. Each and every week, we try to bring you guys value and knowledge on here on the show. And I hope we did not disappoint. If we did, accept my apologies. But give us another shot for next week. Maybe I don't fuck it up then, right? See what happens. But I do end up the show saying the same thing, which is just take care of the client. If you take care of the client, everything else will fall into place. And sometimes that's you. Sometimes you have to take care of you. You're the client. If you take care of yourself, then you can give the best version of yourself to your family, your friends, your team members, mm-hmm. your coworkers, and everyone else who's in your circle. And you can just all build each other off of there. Be safe out there. Be good to each other. That's it, guys. Now let's enjoy Vegas.
Yeah, let's see.
Couple hours. All right. Thank you, guys. See you all soon. Take care.
Take care. Thanks.